Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where at the end of a long night and long day in NHL action, the Winnipeg Jets apparently forgot to show up to the game, losing 5-3 to the Edmonton Oilers on home ice, a game in which the Jets were thoroughly outclassed from top to bottom in their worst performance, I'd say probably going back since the Montreal game on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, that probably was, Drew. I got some drunk Oilers fans still sticking around here in the arena right now. They just turned the lights off. Yeah, I would say so. The Jets came out against a team that is a high-flying team, you know, a couple of top two lines.
Yeah.
Nugent Hopkins and Gagne and Hemsky-Smith, Hall and Eberle, and just young talent, fast young talent. You can move it east-west, can move north-south, can do a lot of things. And for whatever reason, the Jets came into the game. They were not playing. You know, you say you don't stick to the system, but what that means today is you're engaging the Edmonton Oilers in a style of play that they succeed in playing. And the Jets did not play their game. And their game meaning the puck in deep, played responsible defensive game. They were leaving gaps. They were chasing the Oilers. They weren't playing where they were supposed to. And the Oilers had the Jets running around. And what they have running around with the speed in the East-West game is playing into the Oilers game. And the Jets, in the first period, they really played into the Oilers' hands. I thought throughout the game, second period, they played a little more disciplined for a bit, and then the third, they lapsed again. And you can't, if you're going to be a playoff contender, and this is my issue all along, I mean, you still have tough odds because of the games in hand, etc., but if you're going to be a playoff contender, Drew, you come into tonight's game against an Oilers team that's like second last in the Western Conference. Nothing to play for.
Nope. They traded away one of their top four defensemen.
Yep. Wasn't playing with a top four defender. Their defense court tonight was brutal.
Yeah.
And you come in, Dubnyk, nothing to write home about. You got top two lines.
That's right.
And you come in and you throw out a dud. And one thing you have to say. Many things to say, but the top. You know, this is a leader game. You lose somebody in the dressing room, do you? Not the biggest cog. I mean, liked, I think, but
everybody on the team knew he was on his way out.
Exactly. We knew he was on his way out. The team was on his way out. And the leaders tonight were visible.
No, there was
nothing.
It was a flat Jets team at best. There was maybe one Jets player that stood out. That was Alex Burmistrov.
Yeah.
He was probably the only guy who showed up and played with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
That's
the
true.
Other guys were all
that Antropov. Played
yeah,
well.
Antropov played
in his limited time.
I mean,
goal and assist.
Yeah, goal and assist.
Got to get him more ice time. Got to get him up
13 minutes of ice time.
Got to get him up on that right side instead of Wellwood.
Just a very disappointing performance for the Jets. And, you know, another game that they will look back at the end of the season if they don't end up making the playoffs and say, this game's one that they lost. The game against the Islanders from about 10 days ago that they lost. Certain games that stand out to you, this is one of them. No scoring.
Quickly, Drew. The Thursday game's a must-win. Forget about Florida because they're not going to catch Florida. Four games in hand, two points down. Not catching Florida.
Right.
You got to win the game, period.
For the eighth playoff spot, absolutely.
Right.
That's Thursday against the Panthers. We'll get to that a little bit later on. No scoring in the first period, a period in which the Jets were lucky to not be down. Play was taken to them by the Oilers. So like you said, they played into their style. If the Jets chip the puck deep all game and run and forecheck like beasts, then there's nothing that the Oilers can do because the defense they were putting out there Ladislav Smith's a nice player.
Yep.
Ryan Whitney's okay.
With Corey Potter. Whitney moves the puck well. But, I mean, you're talking about guys like Cam Barker. Talking about guys like Andy Sutton.
It's not an NHL defense.
Jeff Petrie was not impressive tonight. Yeah, you know, so you got four guys there you really can work on. Drew, I also think another thing is, you know, putting the puck in deep. But also, there's so much space in your own zone and neutral zone because they're so aggressive.
Yeah.
They couldn't pass. The Jets didn't execute well in the passing department tonight.
Sure.
That's an imperative part of success.
If they're able to break out their own zone because the Oilers play such an aggressive style.
Right.
If they're able to break out clean, you have a lot of two-on-ones going down the other end.
And there were parts of plays that could have turned into it. They couldn't execute the passes.
That's right. They were fighting
curling back a lot. But by the way, I mean, it got to a point in the middle of the second period.
The crowd started chanting, shoot the puck. I mean, when the crowd, 15,004 here at MTS Center, are chanting, shoot the puck, they know that the team is trying to make it too fancy.
The fans were right.
Yep, absolutely. You know, odd man rushes often, take the shot, available rebound. Devin Dubnyk's nothing to write home about. Yep. He's fine. There's going to be rebounds. You crash the net. You score goals that way. Doesn't have to be pretty.
You got a chance.
Doesn't have to be pretty.
Played a 5-on-5 today.
Jets opened the scoring. Kyle Wellwood on the power play is 13th of the year. Assist to Nick Antropov and Alex Burmistrov.
Beautiful assist by Nick Antropov.
Yeah, what it was is on that goal,
right,
what
here,
you
puck,
had is
puck on the red line.
Yeah, on the half boards over here.
A little bit lower.
Yeah, a little bit lower. You know, Burmy's on the half boards. A little bit lower there. in deep to Antropov at the side of the net. Antropov cross crease to Wellwood, one timer in the net.
You got to use Antropov more.
That, you know, a textbook setup for a goal.
You got to use Antropov
half
more.
Half board setup, down deep, cross the ice, boom, in the net.
You're wasting him on the fourth line.
Well, and I mean,
people don't like him, but he should be in the top six.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know,
at least you're wasting him on the fourth line.
I mean, you know, Kyle Wellwood gets those goals, but other than that,
I don't mind when you use him the right way. I like Kyle Wellwood as the fourth line guy. Toss him in there once in a while and get him in the second power play.
Right.
Use him for some face-offs. There's nothing against Kyle Wellwood. Just it's enough.
You have to know what exactly. He's not a top six forward for you know, 20 minutes a game. I mean,
right.
Kyle Wellwood played. He played 13 and a half minutes.
Say, well,
the game.
They're cutting it. The Antropov was playing on that second line
at the
end of the game. We've been saying that for a while now.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. When your top players don't play, you're not going to win. But that's a change I think that can ignite that second line a bit.
Right. That goal came at the 15:45 mark of the second period. Ryan Whitney ties it up a little under 3 minutes later. His second of the year, assist to Taylor Hall and Devin Dubnyk.
Early in the power play. Early in the power play. They just set it up. It was a screen by Sean Horkoff, I believe.
That's right. Hall sort of took the puck in deep, passes it back to Whitney at the in the middle of the ice at
nice
the blue line. One-timer in. No chance for Andre Pavlik on that goal. Couldn't see it. I mean, if you looked at the replay, there are three guys
good
standing in front
of him.
Good
screen by Horkoff and a nice shot by Whitney. Yeah. Whitney's got a nice shot. He's a nice puck mover. He's got a good shot.
That's right. Jets came back, right back, you know, a minute and 14 seconds later. Alex Burmistrov, his 13th of the year, assist to Dustin Byfuglien. Just a beautiful – this is Dustin Byfuglien at his best at that. I thought he played a decent game also. I think Byfuglien played a poor game. Byfuglien keeps the puck in at the Oilers' blue line, just bowls over
Jeff Petrie.
Yeah, Jeff Petrie.
Takes the puck off of him, gets onto the – goes from offense to defense to offense.
Embarrassed Petrie
sure
on the play.
He did, but I'm not sure if he played defense at all. He goes in, pressures him to the blue line, takes the puck, comes in, makes a beautiful pass for Mistrov, and he scores.
That's right. And that's how you want to see Dustin Byfuglien play, and I thought he was fine today. Certainly none of these goals could
certainly
be –
Certainly
bigger issues.
You would have liked on the – you wanted him to be aggressive. You would have liked on the fifth goal for him to have read that it was going to be a – you know, you got Andrew Ladd on the. We'll talk about that goal after.
Yeah, we'll talk about that goal. So Jets are up 2-1 after 40 minutes. They haven't played well, but you think, okay, maybe even not playing well, they're going to be able to escape
with this one.
Not to be 1 minute 54 seconds into the third period on a power play. Randy Jones, his 14th of the year assist. Ryan Jones. Randy Jones wasn't very good for the Jets.
No, he wasn't.
Ryan Jones was good for the Oilers. His 14th of the year assist to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Alish Hemsky.
Alish Hemsky makes the pass from across the ice.
On the power play also.
On the seam to Nugent-Hopkins, who makes the pass in front to Jones, who gets it on the second or third whack in front. Jones pays the price, goes in front. Hemsky and Nugent-Hopkins, two tremendous passers and just picking spots. The Jets can't let that pass get through twice.
Yeah.
You know, once through the seam across and then once down low. But the penalty kill wasn't exactly there.
And the Oilers have a good power play. Fourth best power play in the NHL.
Third or fourth, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean the Oilers' power
play. Exactly. I mean that's also just great passing. There's a part of that you need to get in the lanes, and there's a part of that just great success in full passing.
Exactly right. Interesting to note, the first four goals of the game, three of them on the power play, and the fourth and the other one was even strength, but 4-on-4 even strength.
Yes.
So, you know, there was not a lot of – Jets not play well 5-on-5 against the Edmonton Oilers tonight. In fact, they got dominated in 5-on-5 situations.
They did. They were outplayed today in 5-on-5.
Two all at that point. 35 seconds later, Randy Jones of the Winnipeg Jets falls down at the left blue line, the left offensive blue line. A guy who is not a household name by any stretch of the imagination, Leonard Petrell comes down the right wing of the ice here in our direction. Snaps a wrist shot, 2-on-1, snaps a wrist shot through Andre Pavlik. That's not a good goal.
Jones turned the puck over, but Andre Pavlik's got to have that one.
Yeah, it was a wrist shot, went five hole. Andre Pavlik was not very good today for the Winnipeg Jets.
No, he didn't look good. Fought the puck all night. Five goals on 25 shots, sorry. So.
Yeah. So Oilers take a 3-2 lead now.
Yep.
You know, so any momentum the Jets had going in, being up 2-1 after 40 minutes is gone. It's 3-2 for the Oilers now. About 6 minutes later, 7 minutes later, Taylor Hall, his 23rd of the year, assist to, again, Leonard Petrell, a guy who we're all looking for each other at each other saying, you know, what's his, you know, how do you pronounce his name? You know, he...
Look at that Evander Kane haircut.
Yeah, it's got the Evander, we're watching Evander Kane on TSN Jets right now. It's got the sign of the Leo in his hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the astrological symbol for the Leo is what he shaved into his head. I didn't know people shave things into their head anymore.
They still do sometimes. We used to do it when we were like in grade six.
Yeah,
right?
It was very much an elementary school thing.
Orlando Magic logos, Shaq, Penny.
Really? Anyways.
Yeah. Grant Hill drinks Sprite.
Taylor Hall with his 23rd of the year assist to Leonard Petrell. You know, just another poor poor goal by Andrei Pavlik. There was traffic in front of him, but it's just not a it wasn't a hard shot. It wasn't like it was tipped or anything. It's a shot he's just got to have. He fought the puck tonight. It's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah, he fought the puck.
And the entire team fought the puck.
Yeah, they did.
He just squeaked through him in the net, and all of a sudden it's 4-2 for the Oilers.
And then the Jets are taking risks, and so they have Enstrom pinching in and Ladd at the point on the fifth goal, and then Ryan Smith blocks – or somebody blocks the shot. I think it was Ryan Smith. He makes the pass up.
Yeah.
Buffalo's got to get back a bit knowing that Ladd's on the point, but –
you're down 4-2, and there's only about 3 minutes to go in the game, so you don't mind activating your defense at that point.
Absolutely not. The Oilers cheat there. They've cheated.
They cheated the whole game.
Yeah, and
the Jets couldn't take advantage of it.
Eberle gets the puck, and there's a few guys you want to face on a penalty shot less than Eberle.
Well, and it wasn't a penalty shot, but it was a breakaway from the red line.
Well, essentially a penalty shot.
Which is the same thing.
He goes backhand, roof, and he's an impressive young player.
Look, the Oilers have a ton of offensive talent, and it was readily apparent if the Oilers can ever get they have to improve their defense and they have to improve their depth in their forward core.
Somehow they got worse on defense tonight this afternoon, but
by making a bad trade. But that's a separate issue for another day and time. That made it 5-2. The fans started filing out of the MTS Center here. Nick Antropov made it 5-3 a little bit later on. The net was empty for the Winnipeg Jets. I guess it was just after the power play must have ended, according to the score sheet here. Nick Antropov is ninth of the year, assisted Evander Kane and Dustin Byfuglien. But by then, it was just window dressing. And it was all for naught for the Winnipeg Jets.
Might have hit the crossbar with 40 seconds left or whatever.
Which could have made it a little bit more interesting. Yeah, I mean,
kind of like Tampa in here the other night. But the Jets didn't deserve to win this game. They got outplayed. And they're going to go back to the drawing board because now they have to wait till Thursday.
Well, I'll tell you what. If they'd come out with a good performance, very easily could have seen Coach Noel giving them tomorrow off entirely.
Now they play once in a week.
Yeah.
Thursday.
That's right. They play they play Thursday, then they don't play again until Monday.
Once in a week.
Yeah, once or, not really once a week.
Monday, Thursday, Monday.
Anyways, whatever. But if they had put out a good performance...
Six of one, half a dozen of another, Drew.
If they had put out a good performance today, they could have had a day off, I think, from Coach Noel tomorrow, come back Wednesday in anticipation for Thursday's game. If you're Coach Noel, what you saw today was a regression of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you're going to skate them or you're going to just go into film study for a bit and save their legs, but in any event, they need to... this is the dead of a game, and...
Thursday against the Florida Panthers. I mean,
that's a huge game, and that's just a huge game in general. Again, third place is a mirage. They're not getting third place, so they have to focus on getting the eighth spot. Now, I'm assuming Washington and Toronto play once, if not twice, during the next 2 days.
Toronto plays Florida tomorrow.
Okay.
A game where you're really hoping for the Florida Panthers to beat the Leafs there.
Yes, exactly.
And Washington plays tomorrow as well. I'm not 100% sure who they play on Long Island.
So you would expect
Washington to win, but who knows?
Then you're at eighth.
Yeah, then you're at eighth. I mean, this is a game you just have to win to, your opponents that you're chasing. The Washington Capitals have an easy schedule tomorrow against the Isles, which should be a win.
Mm-hmm. Florida, you need to win over the Leafs. But the Leafs can certainly beat them.
Yeah,
and especially if they engage the Leafs in the kind of run and gun they like to play. And are the Leafs going to be? The Florida pressure is nothing, really. The Leafs, are they going to be completely and totally relieved that there weren't really any trades and they know who they got? Maybe the goaltending gets better. This could go two ways for the Leafs.
Sure.
They could struggle or they could unite on the point of, hey, we're together, we're going to try and do this, and everybody wanted us to be broken up today.
Wheeler was not very good. It was a performance from the beginning of the year.
That wasn't great. Wheeler wasn't great.
Everything was to the outside. There was no, they overcomplicated things. You put it in deep. Yeah. You cycle them deep. Yeah. You could cycle this Oilers defense to death.
That's just the issue is you got to love what Blake Wheeler's been doing. He's been the team's best forward this year. I don't think you really can argue that at this point.
No.
But
night in, night out.
When you're talking, the people who started anointing him superstar, and some are, to take a step back. And guys, this is not a team difficult to play against. You need to be up. It's a must-win game. And, you don't judge somebody on one game. And I love his progression. I'm just saying.
This was it was not a good performance for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. It's pretty much that simple.
You've got to keep things in check is what I'm saying.
That's right. This is the lineup going forward. This is the top 12 that you're going to see forward-wise. The defense will change.
I mean, they got to win. They should win the game. It's close to a must-win game, especially considering the circumstances. But in the big scheme of things.
Sure.
Am I shocked they lost a game? No.
No, because they're not. Exactly. They can lose to any team. They can.
The goal differentials for these two teams is like identical.
It was one goal. The record is flattering for the Jets based on...
Take out the shootout goals in there, it might be the same. It might be an advantage to Edmonton because they include the shootout goals in there.
Sure.
So, this is also a question. We'll talk about this on Saturday, but this is also a question of perspective.
Sure.
Easier conference, poor division, easier schedule. Switch the two teams,
what place are the Jets in? It could very well be in 13th, 14th with the Oilers there.
That's not, you know, that's why when I'm talking about on the air today, trying to sell some of the assets, we don't know what they were offered for them. We don't know if they're going to re-sign them. But if they're not going to re-sign them and they were offered something.
Yeah, you have to make it worth their while, especially when we're right on the cusp of the playoff.
Again, we're in the dark in terms of what
we don't know what the negotiations were. They did the right thing by trading Oduya.
Oh, 100%.
Second and third 100%. For Oduya is really very good.
Chevy did well.
Getting Grant Clifton for nothing off waivers,
yeah.
Also very well.
Absolutely.
But you know, to think that this is you're not breaking up the late 70s Montreal Canadiens here.
The consensus of the fans was to keep the team for the most part together is what I gathered, and I just don't agree with that.
Depending on what was offered. But you're certainly not breaking up a dynasty by if you did choose to make any moves.
That's right.
Anyways, disappointing defeat for the Winnipeg Jets tonight here at MTS Center. They have to bounce back Thursday night against the Florida Panthers. We'll be here with the Illegal Curve postgame podcast then, of course. Saturday afternoon, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, noon to 3 on TSN 1290. Coming up after this podcast, post-game audio from both locker rooms, from the Jets locker room and from the Oilers dressing room. Until Saturday afternoon, we encourage you to follow us on Twitter, @IllegalCurve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And, of course, the website, as you know, because that's where you found the podcast, is at www.IllegalCurve.com. For Richard Pollock and Michael Remus, I'm Drew Mindell. We'll speak to you Thursday night from MTS Center.
Yeah, certainly that stings coming off, good home stand so far. It's tough to lose that one.
What went wrong in the third period? You guys go in with the lead, give up a couple early goals.
Yeah, you know what? It was kind of a weird play on the penalty, and, they seemed to really have our number as far as the penalty kill goes tonight, and they were able to capitalize, and, they had some guys that came up with good efforts.
Do you think you guys, is this a trap game? I know you'll probably won't admit it, but you think there was a chance you were looking ahead to Florida a little bit?
I wouldn't say we're looking ahead, but we didn't have our best game, and there's reasons that you look at and say why, and it could have been the trade deadline and guys feeling too comfortable and not giving them good enough effort.
Coach likes to pull out positives from every game. Any positive you saw?
No, not tonight. Tonight was the worst loss of the year, so guys are pretty devastated.
Talk about being a stressful day. What's it like knowing what group you have?
Well, it was positive in the room for the game, and everybody wants to make the playoffs in here, and we know that we've got a chance still, and even though tonight's game was a big bump in the road, if we can win our next two at home, we'll still be in good shape.
Well, it was kind of a sloppy game. In the first period, it was a lot of turnovers on the both sides. It was kind of, we didn't start well, but I think we played a good second period that scored some goals there in the power play. And again, in the third period, bad start to the third period, and we lost 2 points. So it was a weird game. I mean, I don't know what happened, but those games happen, and we gotta be better next time, but because those kind of games could go a different way, and you'll be better next time.
Did you guys kind of play into their hands a little bit, playing such an open game when you know they like to play sort of that run and gun style?
Yeah, they like to play like that. But, they're just waiting, and they didn't have many shots in the second period. But the key was we were saying we have to stay 5-on-5, and If you put those guys to the power play, that's pretty dangerous. And they got some guys who can score the goal, so they can make a play. So it was our best game. Me either, I wasn't good enough. But like I said, tomorrow is another day, and hopefully we're going to be better.
Those 2 goals in the third, how much did that suck the momentum out of you guys?
Especially when they tied the game again. We put them on the power play. Made a penalty in their zone, and those guys can turn the game around pretty quick, and it's exactly what happened. And we give them the chance, and they take it. So they take advantage from our mistakes, and they win the game. So, but overall, the game wasn't good enough to win the game.